This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark and you're listening to The Morning Run. We're all familiar in some way, shape or form with the colourful personality that occupies the White House and who may continue to do so for some time yet since he's announced he's running for a second term. But none of us are as familiar with US President Donald Trump as our guest today on The Breakfast Grill. George Soriel is one of the authors of the book, The Real Deal, My Decade, Fighting Battles and Winning Wars with Trump. He was also a part of the Trump Organization for 12 years and last held the position of Executive Vice President and Chief Compliance Counsel. Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you for having me on, Lynn. I appreciate it.
So one of the things you said you set out to do in your book is to put forward an alternate image of Trump than the one popularized in the media, as well as in Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury. Why did you feel the need to do that?
Well, I've worked with the president for quite some time. I have great admiration for him. In terms of how he treated me, aside from my own parents, there are very few people in life that have done as much for me as President Trump. And I felt that the narrative that we often see on TV was completely different to the Trump that I knew and worked with on a daily basis for many years. So I really set out through a series of simple stories to really give an example to people of what it was like to actually work with him.
Right. So, and he does seem very much like a larger-than-life personality, but how much of that is the real him, the person that we see portrayed in interviews, for example?
Well, I think he has his public persona, but behind the scenes, I wouldn't say that he's a different person, but I would use words like mentor and caring. He went to great lengths to really shepherd my career. Believe it or not, he's actually very easy to deal with. He's down to earth. He's very approachable. He's extremely involved in detail. He brings a certain passion to everything he does. There used to be a saying around the office that if you don't love what you do, you're never going to be good at it. And I could say that he is living, breathing proof of that. I mean, he loves everything he's doing, whether it was developing a golf course or a hotel or being president. He's very passionate about everything that he does. And I think you can see that even in his public persona.
And you were executive vice president of the Trump Organization until fairly recently. So your tenure there overlapped with Trump's occupation of the White House. So since he won the presidency, has he changed at all in your view?
Well, I think he's still the same person in his core, but obviously he's dealing with completely different issues. In the past, you know, he'd be focused on the design of a building or the design of a golf course. Not that that's trivial, but compared to the magnitude and the severity of everything that he's dealing with on a daily basis, obviously he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. The responsibility that has been entrusted in him is tremendous. So I think he's very focused on that. Has the core person changed? I mean, I'm sure he has. You don't go through an experience like running for president and then getting elected with, you know, without some degree of change. But in terms of who he is as a person, the person that I still see and interact with, he's still the same.
You addressed some of his strategies in dealing with the media and dealing with the wider public at large in your book. But how much of Trump's communication is actually a strategy? Is there some kind of overarching plan to it all? Particularly, I'm talking about his social media usage. Is it more that he is a strategic person in his way of communication, or is it more that he's reacting to situations as they occur?
Well, I think he's strategic, and I'm just reminded of one time when we had a very difficult day. We were on a construction site. We dealt with a number of issues. There were a number of problems that we had to resolve, and it was just me and him, and we were walking on the site, and he said to me, you know, George, people ask me all the time, how did I succeed? How did I get to where I am in life? You know, why have I gone so far? And I tell them it's really easy. I just look around, I speak to people, I observe, and I give them what they want. So I think when you look at something like his use of Twitter, which is certainly unique, I think the average person, the average U.S. citizen, really related to that. It was direct communication without the filter of the media. Was it raw? Sure. Does he say and think, do things that perhaps, you know, I may not do, or, you know, you may not do, Lynn? Yes. I mean, he has his own unique style, and at times people do find it abrasive. But I think on the whole, his approach was refreshing, because unlike prior presidents, or unlike many people who occupy positions in Washington now, who are very scripted, very coached, you know, very strategic in everything they say, I think Trump speaks his mind. He speaks directly to people in a normal, unfiltered, unpolitical way. And that's very refreshing for people here.
That was leading into my next question, which was that, do you think that that message will continue to be able to resonate even as we head into the 2020 presidential elections? Because, I mean, President Trump is once again running on the platform of being the outsider coming in to change the swamp, essentially, although he has now been part of it for 2 years.
I still think there's something that's different there. I was lucky enough that last week I was at the kickoff event for the 2020 campaign in Orlando, and what I saw was incredible. I mean, there were people there that had spent overnight waiting to get in. You had a stadium that has a capacity of 20,000. There were in excess of 100,000 people who wanted to get in. And what I found really refreshing is these are people from all different walks of life. Okay, there are different demographics, different races, different religions, different age groups, and the message was all the same. These were people that were there to see Trump. And I myself am an immigrant, and his message resonated really strongly with me. Again, you know, this is a dangerous world. We're facing challenges on so many levels, and I find it very refreshing, although, again, I have family in the Middle East, I have family in Europe, but I live in the United States, I'm an American, and I find it very refreshing that for the first time, you know, in perhaps a generation, we have a president that has a singular focus, and that focus is on putting America first. And that resonated very strongly with people, and based on what I saw on Tuesday, it still is.
But arguably, George, you are a different kind of migrant than the one President Trump typically tends to target in his speeches and in his policies, particularly his anti-immigration policies. So do you think that you speak for a certain bracket of a demographic of the American society, or all migrants?
No, I don't think it's fair, Lynn, to label him as anti-immigrant. I think actually he's pro-immigrant, but he's pro-legal immigration. I mean, look, let's face it. I think as humans, we can all have great empathy for what's going on at the southern border. I empathize with them on a personal level, and I bleed for them on a personal level. However, as a country, we have limited resources, and we have to have some kind of a system to allow people to enter the country legally. And I think that's what Trump is saying. And I have to give him credit, because this is not an issue that just manifested itself in the past year or so. This has been going on for a long time, and there are many presidents that just ignored the problem and didn't attempt to deal with it. You have to give Trump credit that he's the first president in a long time to acknowledge the issue, and look, he's trying to do something about it. It's a very complicated problem. It's not something that's going to be resolved overnight. But I think what Trump is saying is that we must have an organized system of legal migration. He's not saying no to immigrants. He's not saying no to all immigration. He just wants it done legally. And that's something that he has put great effort into, and he's putting a lot of pressure now on Congress to finally do something about it.
So, George, what would you say is the biggest flaw in observations of Trump, particularly from around the world? Because, for example, we here in Malaysia, we tend to be very reliant on media portrayals of what is happening over there in the US. So what would you think is the biggest thing that we tend to miss on the international stage when we are looking into the US?
Well, I think if you're referring specifically to the president, I think this is a person that is a lot more in tune than he's giving credit to. This is a man that's traveled all over the world. He's developed in many countries. We have friends all over the world. And I think he's a lot more in tune with what's going on. Again, this is a person that has based everything he has on his ability to observe and come up with that simple conclusion of, look, I'm going to give people what they want. So I think he's a lot more in tune than the media often gives him credit for. I think he's a lot more focused. You were asking me earlier about, does he just shoot from the hip or does he have a strategy? You know, I think it's a little of both. He definitely does have some reactive tendencies, like anyone that's passionate. But there's always a strategy there, and sometimes it just takes a little bit longer for that to become apparent. And again, when I was a young person coming into the organization, he once gave me a lesson, which I think is relevant to you, that if you're in a negotiation and sometimes things are getting difficult or you feel the momentum is shifting to the other side, he said, shake it up, cause a distraction, you know, get people to focus on something else, you know, push them off their edge, make them upset. You remain focused while everyone else around you is in chaos. You just turn the situation to your benefit. So I see him doing that all the time with global negotiations. And again, I think he is mindful and respectful of other nations, but make no mistake about it, he's putting the United States first. That's what people elected him to do. And I think that is a different concept from what we've seen, at least with the past few presidents. And, you know, the world is just taking some time to adjust to it.
I'm speaking to George Soriel, former Executive Vice President and Chief Compliance Counsel of the Trump Organization and one of the authors of the book, The Real Deal, My Decade Fighting Battles and Winning Wars with Trump. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. If you've just joined us, I'm speaking to George Soriel, former Executive Vice President and Chief Compliance Counsel of the Trump Organization and one of the authors of the book, The Real Deal, My Decade, Fighting Battles and Winning Wars with Trump. So, George, I'd like your take on what would you say is President Donald Trump's approach to running a country. Is it modeled very much off of his style of running the Trump Organization before this?
Yes, I think he's looking to tackle problems, not just talk about them, confront issues and take them to resolution. He brings a business person's perspective. There's a lot of people in Washington that talk and talk and talk, and nothing ever gets done. I think if you look at his track record just over the past 2 years, a relatively short term in office, he has many accomplishments. And again, he is confronting issues which past presidents only ran from. Now, that may create somewhat of a, you know, period of change in the interim, but ultimately we're going to end up in a much better place. As the saying goes, sometimes you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
But I guess, you know, as you said, he brings a business person's perspective, and very much observations of Trump's diplomatic style tend to liken it to running a company. But I guess the question then would be public listed company or private, because the Trump Organization was, as you quoted in your book, very much like a large mom and pop outfit. But in the sense of how the American presidency would be like a company, it would be more like a public listed company. So where do the American people, in effect, the shareholders, factor into Trump's decisions here?
Well, I think the American people and the interests of the American people are first and foremost on his mind with respect to everything he does. But let's take a look at his, you know, by to use an example, which may be relevant to all of us, is if you remember when President Obama was leaving the White House, mm-hmm. He said to incoming President Trump, your biggest crisis, your biggest problem is the Korean Peninsula. This is something that you have to focus on. Now, if you go back to the way things were 2 years ago, you had missiles flying. Everybody was concerned about a horrendous war. We had the Olympics coming up. Were the Olympics going to be delayed? No one really knew what to do. I, for one, watched pundit after pundit pontificate about, oh, to have successful bilateral negotiations, we need 18 months of planning. And Trump did something which, you know, anyone who knows him is classic to his style. He said, look, let me just go and talk to him. That's what business people do. When there's a conflict, you may not have all the solutions, but look, let's have some dialogue. Let me go in there and talk to Kim Jong-un. And that's what he did. And there's a lot of people that said, oh, this is going to be a disaster. This is going to end with a failure. But I think we're in a much better place. Are we at a final solution? Of course not. Do we have a lot more work to do? Yes. But there is dialogue. The hostility has died down dramatically. We no longer feel like we're on the verge of some horrendous war. And I said to myself, this is classic Donald Trump. So does he bring a different style? Absolutely. Is it effective? Yes, it is. That I've often heard people criticize the president by saying you can't act like a business person in the political world. Now, look, I'm not a diplomat. I'm not part of the administration, and I understand that there are differences, but I disagree with that assertion, and I think bringing a little bit of that business perspective to these worlds has been very effective.
But effectiveness aside, taking just the number of executive decisions made by President Trump during his 2 years thus far in the position of President of the United States, it very much seems like he is taking a more oligarchical approach rather than a democratic one when it comes to running a country. So even if, as you described, the political processes of before were to take a long time, you could also argue that those were adhering to due process and adhering to the democratic system as a whole, which the U.S. is so famous for.
Well, every president uses executive orders. But look, in this current climate, things have to be done. We can't wait around sometimes for Congress to pontificate and waste time. And in the meantime, nothing gets resolved. Sometimes executive orders are necessary, and you know everything he's done is subject to judicial challenge anyway. So, you know, with respect to your statement about due process, there are still ample checks and balances in the system. So there's really no trampling of due process.
So now I'd like your take on the trade war, George, and how he's conducting it. With your knowledge of his personality and his business behaviors and styles, what do you think would be his next move in that regard?
Well, it's hard to say. And again, I am far from an expert in these matters, but I look at China. They're a tough adversary. They've been a tough adversary. They're smart. Their leader, Xi Jinping, is capable, extremely intelligent. And look, the issues that we're confronting now, that the president is confronting now, they're not new issues, they're not novel issues. They've gone on for a long time. And sometimes you have to take a very hard position in the negotiation to make a point. I mean, for decades, prior administrations have tried to address these issues with a softer touch. And it hasn't really done anything. It's been great for China. Their economy has flourished and grown off the back of the United States over the past 20 years. But that type of strategy did not work for us, meaning the United States. And I think, you know, look, again, I'm far from an expert, but at least now there appears to be some movement. I mean, he did something extreme. He did something abrupt with these tariffs. It did cause a disruption, but I think any observer would say, well, I think the government of China is listening now. And I am very optimistic that when we reflect back on what was done with these tariffs, we'll say, wow, that was really smart thinking, and it caused some short-term suffering in the United States and abroad, but it brought us all to a better position. So I still think it's too early, but I'm really not sure how else you confront an economic adversary like China if you're the president of the United States. You did something, you woke them up, they're listening, they're at the table.
Now, a lot of analysts have pointed out the fact that the trade war has been causing disruption, particularly to American consumers. So are you saying then that this disruption has been factored in by President Trump and perhaps he sees this as a short-term loss for a longer-term gain?
I think that's exactly how he sees it. And I think that's how most rational people in the United States see it. I mean, look, Lynn, do I like to see the cost of goods that I'm purchasing increase? I don't. But it's a short-term sacrifice that's going to get us to a much better place. So I think it's too premature to really judge the impacts of these tariffs. But I actually agree with the president on this strategy. There's really no way to confront an adversary, an economic adversary like China now, without being somewhat blunt and caustic. But As I mentioned, people are talking, people are at the table, and I am very confident that the end result is going to be we are all in a better place. Was there some short-term sacrifice? Sure there is, but that's frequently necessary to get to a better outcome.
Now, Joshua, it's just a final question. You've said that you owe a lot to Trump because he's done more, perhaps, than anyone excepting your parents in terms of growing your career. So my question then would be, just as the media can be biased against Trump following his repeated attacks against what he perceives as the liberal media, could it be that you are biased for him in writing your book?
Yeah, of course I'm biased for him. I mean, that's why I made statements like that from the outset. I mean, I didn't set out to do an objective analysis of my years. I mean, everything in that book is subjective. And yes, I am a supporter of Donald J. Trump, the individual. I support his presidency. But the stories that I put in my book are true. And the book is not only my accounting of what it was like in the organization over a golden decade, as I call it. But I have input from people in the organization, you know, at all different levels, from the top to the bottom. I have input from women who worked in the company, and all of them consistently have the same message as me. So I don't think I can honestly say that, you know, yes, it is subjective. It's not an objective analysis, but it's based on fact, and everything in there is true. So I would leave it for people to make up their minds about the interpretations of the stories that I have in there.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, George. I've been speaking to George Soriel, former Executive Vice President and Chief Compliance Counsel of the Trump Organization and one of the authors of the book, The Real Deal, My Decade of Fighting Battles and Winning Wars with Trump. Now, we're coming up on the 8:30 news, and after that, more stories for you. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.